study in the book of Titus, the third chapter. We got as far as the 10th verse week last, actually the week before. So Titus 3, if you may, turn there, and we will try to complete this study of Titus today. Titus 3, beginning from about verse 10. But if I go into this study today, I'd like to express our corporate condolence to the Hammond family. We weep with you and we rejoice with you, and we celebrate Mom's life. She, even though I don't know if I met her, I might have met her once or twice. Yeah. But seeing you guys and tells me how wonderful she was. And we just want to thank God for her and celebrate her homegoing. And may God continue to strengthen and comfort and keep you guys and see you through this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Titus chapter 3. The whole book of Titus has been addressing the issue of leadership and character and the spiritual stance that believers should have, and also is addressing how corporately we need to deal with problem issues. And one of the problem issues that is raised in verse 10 is this one. It says, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Now, the idea of rejection here is to make certain that that person knows without a shadow of a doubt that they are wrong. And corporately, we are letting you know you're wrong in your spiritual understanding of this subject. It has been explained to you first time, second time, but we see you don't want to change. So since you don't want to be part of the family and the understanding of the Word of God, we are not going to allow you to corrupt the rest of the body. And so Paul says to Titus, put that guy out. Now, in another passage of scripture, in 2 Corinthians, when somebody had done something wrong, he said, put them out so that basically they can see and experience what the covering of the body means to them. Now that they are in the cold, now that they are all by themselves, and they see the hand of the enemy coming after them, they will cry out. In Winnipeg, I think we can understand it this way. The guy is in the warmth of the house and he's acting up, or she's acting up. Put him out in the minus 40, minus 50, cold. And they will bang on the door and say, let me in. Amen? So it's an act of love. It's not an act of hate. It's an act of love, or of, you might say, discipline. So that the heretic, the one that is acting towards the things of God, comes into an awareness of the reality of the Word of God. So it says, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing, this is the reason, knowing that he that is such, that is a heretic, is subverted. Now that word subverted means that that person has been exposed and now is corrupted. there is corruption there, and this corruption is going to corrupt everything. So put him out. Now, to be corrupted is not an easy thing if you're truly born again. Because the Word of God says that we're born of an incorruptible seed. We came from an incorruptible seed. So that means that if we came from an incorruptible seed, that we're meant to be an incorruptible plant that produces incorruptible fruit. So for somebody to be corrupted has to mean that they have taken in something. They willingly took something into themselves and allowed themselves to be polluted. So he says, knowing that he that is such a heretic didn't just become that, they went and they took something in. They took a thought in. They took something that is not like God into themselves. And it says, such is subverted and sinned. In other words, this person has missed the mark, being present tense, continuous, condemned of himself. Now, that is an interesting statement. Being condemned of himself means that this person, partly why they are in that heretic state, they are feeling condemned, and they are trying to make their state acceptable because they are feeling condemned and guilty. Now, bear in mind that the reason why part of what we're talking about here has to do with character. So the heretic here is somebody that is living a lifestyle that is ungodly. They've allowed themselves to be twisted and out of sort in the things of God, and they are trying to feel okay by getting people to okay them because they are feeling guilty about their particular state, and so they are trying to get everybody else to accept them. And you know exactly, you know, in our day and our time, that's happening all over the world. You know, those who are practicing particular lifestyles, immoral sexual lifestyle, want everybody to accept their way of living and say, well, it is okay. And it's based on their own heart self-condemnation. And even when you say it's okay, the heart condemnation is still there. And that's why from that particular group of people, the suicide rate is astronomical, even when they are accepted, because it is a self-condemnation. And that self-condemnation says, I've got to make other people accept me the way I am because I'm okay the way I am. And they are never feeling okay because there is self-condemnation taking place. It says being, present tense, continuous. It doesn't stop. Being condemned of himself. He says, then it goes on to verse 12. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis. Nicopolis happens to be a capital city I believe it's Tarsus. And he's saying, I'm sending you two guys, two beloved saints, and maybe some other time I'll spend time talking about these two characters that were very faithful, committed men that stood with Paul. He says to him, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis. Be diligent. Make time, that is. Make time. I know you have a lot of things on your plate, but do make time to come to me. Why is Paul asking him to come to him? Because he wants to impart into this man, Titus, some special gifts. He says he's going to go to certain people, he's going to lay hands on them and impart gifts into them. We need the gifts of God imparted into our lives. We must understand the importance of key people in our lives, that they are there to encourage us, they are there to help us, but they are there also to impact our lives. And what I've come to learn is this, that sometimes the impartation that you receive from a man or a woman of God is not necessarily something that you are aware of right away until you are ministering. Then you see the impartation, that something has changed in you. Something has come into you that you are releasing to others. And that's partly the reason for laying on of hands. When hands are laid and people are ministered to, something happens to them. So Paul says, I want you to diligently make certain that you come. Come to me, to Nicopolis. He says, for I have determined there to winter. Now that's an interesting statement. We can just take it as a casual statement, for I have determined there to winter, as well, he's going to be staying in Nicopolis. But hear this statement, I have determined. That means that he made up his mind that he's going to go there to Nicopolis, and he's going to spend there. Spend time there in Nicopolis. He's going to winter there. He's going to rest there. He's going to do whatever it is that he needs to do. He's planning. He's not there yet, but that's where he's going to be, and that's what he's going to do. This is the importance of planning. Planning and committing to the plan that you have put into motion. By also saying that, there's a spiritual principle that he is locatable. Someone said locatable. People need to know where you are, where you stand. Some people are like this. You're never sure where they really stand or what they really stand for. Paul is saying to him, hey, this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to send you some guys. Come with them. Be diligent. Make a commitment to come to where I am. No matter what the situation, make a commitment to be there. Make a commitment to be present. And then he says, bring, not only do I want you to come, I want you now to bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So second thing I want you to do, I want you to support Zenas and Apollos. Apollos is a great preacher. And he says, Apollos is going to be coming into your direction. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to make sure that they get on their journey safely, that they are funded, that they have the resources they need to do what they need to do where they go. Because one of the things that Paul encouraged the saints to do was that when they went out to ministry, that they don't go there raising funds from the people, the Gentiles that they were going to minister to, but that they had their resources as they went. So when you came to a church, that church is supposed to also help send you forth. When you go into a virgin ground, doing a mass crusade and stuff like that, that's not the place to start raising funds. Have your funds available before you go there. Amen? Now, we do know that in our day and our time, there are certain changes. Believers come to mass crusades just as well as non-believers. And they want to support whatever it is that is happening so that the ministry continues to grow and nobody is burdened. So today we give an opportunity for that. But in the day of Paul, when the gospel had not gone that far and he was basically breaking new grounds, he's encouraging Titus, make sure that as Zenas and Apollos head out, that their journey is funded. So bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Let them lack nothing as they go. And then he goes and says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. What is he talking about here? He's saying, support the people as they're going, but be mindful of where you are and what God has called you to do. Do good works and do necessary things so that you stay fruitful. Amen? We're called to be fruitful people. Now, but not only does he say, being fruitful, he says that they be not, what? That they be not what? Unfruitful. What does that mean? It means this, that you and I, because we are called and chosen of God, are destined to fruitfulness. That there's no way that you will not be fruitful. But there are things that you and I can do that can cause us to become unfruitful. Unfruitful because we are not producing as we should. We become unfruitful. Unfruitfulness, the Bible tells us, and actually let's go to Luke 4. And then we'll come back to Titus. Actually, I'm wrong there. It's Luke 8. This is the passage of Scripture where the Lord talks about the sower and the seeds. And while he was talking to the disciples about this particular parable, they said to him, you know, what does this parable mean? We don't get it. And the Lord says, wow, if you don't get this one, how are you going to get any of the other parables? So he starts out by saying, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Amen? The seed is the word of God. And that word of God is an incorruptible word. And that's the word that we got saved by. It says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, that third group is primarily the group that he's talking about when he talks about being unfruitful. Now, let's look at that particular group. He says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they've heard the word of God, they go forth and are choked with cares, choked with riches, choked with pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, the fruit is there, but it falls off. You become unfruitful because the things, the concerns of the things of this world come in and they begin to choke out the truth of God's word, the passion for the things of God. Now, let's look at that closely as it relates to him saying, support Zenas and Apollos so that there's nothing wanting. And the idea is this. If they are lacking, they are going to try to find other solutions. And that is going to cause them to begin to be unfruitful. People are going to start complaining about this and complaining about that. All these people came here to do is come get our money. And instead of people coming to the Lord, they will start falling off. There's no fruitfulness there. He says, so whatever it is that will cause the men that are going out there to do the work of God, whatever is going to cause them to become contrary or a stumbling block even to themselves, causing them to have the word of God choked or their fruitfulness choked, release them from that. Take that thing away from them so that they don't get into that particular situation. Amen? So that is part of what we are called to do. Make certain that the word of God fruitfully is established in the lives of men and women. Men and women of God, that is. Now, another passage of scripture that I would like to look at closely, quickly, is this passage of scripture found here in the book of Peter. Second Peter. Let me look at 2 Peter 3:9, and then I'll go to the particular passage of scripture that I want to take us to. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the word of God says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And primarily what Paul is communicating, the drive that he's trying to bring to us as God's people, is that particular aspect. God is not slack concerning his promise, but wants us all to come to repentance. He's basically saying to us, sure, you have issues. Don't hide it. Don't try to make people come and accept your wrong attitudes, your wrong actions, your whatever. Remember, God is slack. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he's calling you to repentance. Change. Remember that. Change. That is crucial. Now, having mentioned that, come with me to 2 Peter and verse 1, or chapter 1. Second Peter 1, and the word of God says to us in verse 8. For if these things be in you, certain things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will neither be barren. Barrenness and unfruitfulness are two different things. Barrenness is when you don't have the capacity to give birth. No amount of seed is going to cause you to be fruitful. You don't have the capacity. It's impossible. That's a barren person. An unfruitful person is somebody that is capable of being fruitful, but constantly is aborting that child. You with me so far? Okay. That is the issue. And there are certain things that will cause us not to be unfruitful. And it says, if certain things be in you and abound, they make you. This is an antidote, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, that his old life was eradicated. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. Commit yourself to make certain that your calling and your election is certain. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You will never fall. Now, what are these things? The antidote. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, that's our word again, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, excellence. So when you add excellence to you, you are not going to be unfruitful and you're not going to be barren. Amen? And to virtue, add knowledge. That is the word gnosis. That word gnosis is a word for knowledge, but it is a deep understanding. Add to yourself excellence. Add to yourself understanding. Understand what the Word of God is. This will help you not to fall. This will help you to stay secure. This will help you stay faithful. And then he says, and to that knowledge, add temperance. Add temperance. That temperance here is a word for self-control. This is another thing that's going to cause you not to be unfruitful and cause you not to be a person that is barren. Add temperance or self-control. Amen? Now, this self-control here has to do with natural desires and passions and stuff like that. Now, you add to temperance patience. Now, patience is similar to temperance. Temperance has to do with people. Patience has to do more with circumstances. Amen? So it says, add patience to temperance. That sense of self-control, add patience. Now, that word, patience, is a word, hypomone, which means to abide under, be present under the covering of God, and therefore don't allow your circumstances to cause you to be disturbed and cause you to start making decisions you should not be making. And to patience, it says add godliness. Add godliness. That we understand. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness, which is Philadelphia, which is a brotherly love. Love for your fellow brothers in such a way that you're willing to die for them. You're willing to sacrifice for them. You're willing to help them accomplish whatever it is that they need to accomplish. And to brotherly kindness, charity or agape love, which is a love that you have for somebody that is not tied to what they think they need, but what you know they need. So, agape love, God loved us while we're yet sinners, right? We didn't know that we're sinners. We didn't know that we're going to hell. We didn't know any of that. But God knew exactly where we were heading, and so sacrificed himself, exchanged positions with us, went to hell for us, and all of that, so that we can be saved. Now, agape love is the love that you bring to your brother or to your sister or to your world to bring to them what they really need. What they really need. It says, if you have that kind of love, where you bring to people what they really need, you love them so much, you give them what they want, but you bring to them what they really need. It says, you will be a person that will not be barren, and you will not be unfruitful. And the way we should live with each other is based on that. Okay, this is what you think you need, or it's really your want. Here it is. But this is really what you need. I'll give you what you need. And when I give you what you need, you'll make it. Now, when I'm hungry, what I want is food. What I need is how to get food for myself. Make sense? You know, so it's like the old adage, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for one day, teach him how to fish, you feed him for the rest of his life, right? Okay, so that's the same thing. That's exactly what God is doing for us. He gives to us what we want, but really his target is to provide us what we need. That is why, please hear what I'm about to say to you. That is why God may answer your prayer today, but tomorrow he might just refuse to answer your prayer because he's giving you the power and the authority to use your tongue to speak, to change your situation. And you'll stay there. You know, one day you say, oh God, help me, cast out this demon, and he'll do it. Another day he'll leave you alone. You say, oh God, come. You say, what? I gave you the power already. I gave you the authority. What do you want? Come to do what? You want to die? Stay there. He'll leave you until you do what you're supposed to do. I found out. Don't lose me here. Don't lose me here. I found out something. When I was young in faith and growing in faith, and I had what you might call a nightmare, an attack in my dream, and I said, in the name of Jesus, the forces of darkness will flee. Then I came to a stage where I say in the name of Jesus and nothing was happening. And I wondered, what am I supposed to say? What will work here? And all of a sudden, I will speak the word of faith. And when I speak the word of faith, I get the results I needed. And I'll wake up and say, what happened? Why? Why did I say in the name of Jesus and it didn't work? And I spoke the word of faith and it worked. Well, because the reason God gave me the name of Jesus was so that I can say what I need to say on the basis of his authority, because his name is not a rope. It is the authority base that I work from to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Amen? Authorized because of the name of Jesus. Remember the statement of the Lord. He says, in that day you'll ask me nothing, but you'll talk to the Father directly. The name of Jesus, so that we can begin to consult with the Father directly. because of his name. You that make sense? Okay, so that is the shift. That is the shift of brotherly kindness and charity. Brotherly kindness brings what I want. Charity brings me to the place of what I need. Yeah? Okay. And that's where God wants to take every one of us. Bring us to the place where we speak and what we say is what is. Elijah comes to Ahab and says, there'll be no rain nor dew in this land but according to my word, because I said it. And God says, that's it. God confirmed it. That makes sense? Okay. So that's where God wants to take you and I. You don't neglect the name of Jesus. If you neglect the name of Jesus, your words are nothing. It is on the foundation of who Jesus is, what he has done. That's on the basis of that we speak. We believe the Lord, therefore we speak. Therefore we prophesy. Therefore we declare and we decree. Amen? And God honors that because that is a sign of spiritual growth. So let us now go back to our Titus passage and wrap up with verse 15. He says here, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. That's how he closes. All that are with me salute you. All of those that are with me salute you, Titus. We greet you. We honor you. This is a sign that he had people around him that were there to assist him. He says, greet them that love us in the faith. What did he say? Greet them that what? Love us in the faith. He's making a demarcation there. There are people that love us, greet them. Now, what does the greet mean? The greet, if you take my greeting, it becomes a blessing. I salute you. I greet you. I bless you. They are all in the same vein. Remember this passage of scripture, 3 John 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Yeah? Okay. That was a greeting. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It was a greeting that was sent, but that greeting became a blessing. The greeting becomes a blessing. If I say to you, good morning, what did I do? You prophesying that morning to be good. Yeah? Good morning. Good night. Good afternoon. It's a greeting, but it's a blessing. It's a prophetic word. Make sense? All right. So it is also, when he's pronouncing this blessing, when he says, greet them that love us in the faith, he's saying, bless everyone that loves us. Why? Because my blessing, when you say my blessing, when you say my greeting, it is me saying it, but you are saying it on my behalf. But when you say it on my behalf, my blessing connects. But it's connecting with those that love me. Jesus said, when you go ministering in twos, the home that accepts you, leave your blessing there. If they receive you, leave your blessing there. If they don't receive you, let your blessing come back. You know what? That statement is still true today. The blessing from my life will only stay with people that love me. if they don't receive me, my blessing doesn't stay there. It's coming back. Amen? So it's no big deal for me to bless somebody that hates me. Guess what? Because the blessing comes back to me. It comes back to me. It does not stay with them, but I don't have to go to the bottom with them by hating them because they hate me. So Jesus says, bless them that despitefully use you. Huh? Speak the blessing. Somebody's cursing you, say, I bless you. Now, that makes your blessing precious. It is coming back to you. Don't be afraid to bless people. If they don't receive you, if they don't receive the blessing in your life, it's coming back to you. It does not come back the same way that you sent it, because it comes back greater. It was a seed that was sown, and you get a harvest. Amen? So, people that care for you or don't care for you, just release the blessing. But the blessing is going to stay with them that love us. Okay? Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace, the enablement of God, the charis of God, be with you all. Notice the statement, grace be with you, what? All. But who's Titus going to bless? Those that love him. But grace, I release the grace of God so that you all get to share in the benefit of the blessing. But if you don't receive the grace, sorry, it's coming back. Amen? So, lesson learned. Don't be afraid to speak the word of blessing. To deny the release of the blessing is to deny yourself of the fruitfulness that is possible because you're walking in love. So continue to bless, continue to give, continue to share. And remember, the goal is not to be barren and not to be unfruitful. If we do not repent, we become unfruitful. If we do not repent, we become barren. But if we want to be fruitful, then we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and God will graciously bless us.